Shalom and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast that goes through the whole Bible in a year. We follow along with the weekly Torah portions and read daily from the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the apostles. If you want to learn more about the podcast or connect with us online, find us at dailybreadmoms.com. There you'll find information about the journal. That's the Bible reading plan that we use, which Bible translation we use, and how to contact us. You'll also see information about how you can support the podcast by becoming a patron and how we can connect with you more. We've got some new things for our sweet patrons and are excited to let you hear from us in more ways beyond the daily Bible readings. So find us at dailybreadmoms.com. We look forward to connecting with you. Let's get to our podcast episode for today. Shalom. This is Johanna. I'm your reader today. Today is Wednesday, the 17th of April, and on the Hebrew calendar, it is the 9th day of Nisan. We're coming so close to Passover. It's exciting. And this week, our parasha, our portion from the Torah, is called Metzora, which means leper. And today we're starting in Leviticus 14, verses 33 through 53. Before we begin our readings, let's take a moment to bless God and thank Him for His precious word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Let's read from Leviticus 14:33. The Lord spoke to Moshe and to Aaron, saying, "Suppose you have come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put a mark of tzarat in a house in the land you possess. Then the one who owns the house shall come and tell the Kohen, saying, 'Something like a mark has appeared in my house.' The Kohen is to order the house emptied before he goes in to examine the mark, so that nothing in the house might be made unclean. Then afterward the Kohen is to enter to inspect the house. He is to examine the mark, and behold, if the mark is in the walls of the house with hollow streaks, greenish or reddish, and appears deeper than the wall, then the Kohen is to go out of the house to the door and close up the house for 7 days. Then the Kohen is to come back again on the seventh day, and behold, if the mark has spread in the walls of the house, then the Kohen is to command that they take out the stones which are marked and throw them into an unclean place outside of the city. He shall also have the inside of the house scraped all throughout, and they are to dump the mortar that they scraped off outside of the city into an unclean place. They may then take other stones and put them in the place of those stones. Likewise, he can take other mortar and plaster the house. But suppose the contamination returns, breaking out in the house after he has pulled out the stones and after he has scraped the house and it has been replastered. Then the Kohen is to go examine, and behold, if the plague has spread within the house, it is a destructive mildew inside, it is unclean. He is to break down the house, its stones, its timber, along with all the house's mortar, and carry them out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, whoever goes into the house while it is shut up will be unclean until the evening. The one who lies down in the house must wash his clothes, and he who eats in the house must wash his clothes too. But if the Kohen comes in, inspects it, and behold, the plague is not spread within the house after it was replastered. Then he shall pronounce the house clean, because the contamination is healed. In order to cleanse the house, he is to take two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. He is to kill one of the birds in a clay pot over living water. Then he is to take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them into the blood of the slain bird, as well as the living water, and sprinkle the house seven times. He shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, with the living water, with the living bird, the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet. But he is to let the living bird go out of the city into the open field. So he is to make atonement for the house, and it will be clean. That was Leviticus 14, 33 through 53. Today's portion from the prophets is Isaiah chapter 37. When King Chizkiyahu heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was in charge of the palace, Shebna the scribe, and the senior Kohanim, covered with sackcloth, to Yeshayahu the prophet, son of Amoz. Then they said to him, "Thus says Chizkiyahu, this is a day of distress, rebuke, and contempt. For children have come to the point of birth, and there is no strength for giving birth. Perhaps the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to mock the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. So offer prayer for the remnant that is left." When the officials of King Chizkiyahu came to Yeshayahu, Yeshayahu said to them, "Thus you will say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words you have heard, with which the boys of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I am putting a spirit in him, so that he will hear a rumor and will return to his own country. Then I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." Then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, for he had heard that he had withdrawn from Lachish. Now he had heard them saying concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, saying, "He has come out to fight against you." When he heard it, he sent messengers to Chizkiyahu, saying, "Thus you will say to King Chizkiyahu of Yehuda, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Yerushalayim will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, utterly destroying them. So will you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those my fathers destroyed, Gozan, Haran, Rezef, or the children of Eden who were in Tel Assar? Where is the king of Hamat, or the king of Arpad, or the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hena, or Eva?" Then Chizkiyahu received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Then Chizkiyahu went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Chizkiyahu prayed to the Lord, saying, "Lord of hosts, God of Israel, who is enthroned upon the Keruvim, you alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to all the words of Sennacherib, who was sent to mock the living God. It is true, Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated all the countries and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of human hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, Lord our God, save us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are the Lord." Then Yeshayahu, son of Amoz, sent word to Chizkiyahu, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you prayed to me about King Sennacherib of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken about him. The virgin daughter of Zion will despise you and mock you. The daughter of Yerushalayim will shake her head at you. Whom did you taunt and blaspheme? Against whom did you raise your voice and haughtily lift up your eyes? Against the Holy One of Israel. Through your servants you have blasphemed my Lord and said, 'With my many chariots I have climbed to the heights of the mountains, to the remotest parts of Lebanon. I cut down its tall cedars and choice cypress trees. I have gone to its farthest peak, its thickest forest. I dug and drank water, and with the sole of my feet I dried up all the streams of Egypt. Have you not heard? I did it long ago. From ancient times I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass that you should turn fortified cities into heaps of rubble. Their inhabitants are weak-handed, shattered, and ashamed. They are like the grass of the field and green herb, like grass on roofs, scorched before it is grown up. But I know you're sitting down, you're going out, and you're coming in, and you're raging against me. Because you're raging against me and your arrogance reached my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way that you came. So this shall be the sign to you. This year you will eat what grows by itself, in the second year what springs from that. But in the third year you will sow, reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. The surviving remnant of the house of Yehuda will take root downward and bear fruit upward. For from Yerushalayim a remnant will go out, and survivors from Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria: he will not come to the city, or shoot an arrow there, or come before it with a shield, or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, by the same he will return, and he will not come into this city. It is a declaration of the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the men arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So King Sennacherib of Assyria withdrew and returned home and stayed in Nineveh. It also came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of his god Nisroch, that his sons Adramelech and Sharezer struck him down with the sword and escaped into the land of Ararat. Then his son Esarhaddon became king in his place. That was Yeshayahu, or Isaiah, chapter 37. Our portion today from the writings is Proverbs 18. One who isolates oneself seeks his own desire. He defies all sound judgment. A fool finds no delight in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. When wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with dishonor comes disgrace. The words of one's mouth are deep waters, a fountain of wisdom, a flowing brook. Showing partiality to the wicked is not good, nor is depriving the innocent of justice. The lips of a fool enter into an argument, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. The words of a gossip are tasty morsels going down into one's innermost being. One who is slack in his work is brother to the one who destroys. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous one runs into it and is safely set up high. A rich person's wealth is a strong city or like a high wall in his imagination. Before ruin, a person's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. One who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. One's spirit sustains him through illness, but who can bear a crushed spirit? A discerning heart gains knowledge. The ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gift makes room for him and leads him before great men. The first to state his case seems just until another comes and cross-examines him. Casting lots ends quarrels and decides between mighty opponents. An offended brother is more formidable than a fortified city, and quarrels are like the bars of a fortress. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest of his lips, he is satisfied. Death and life are in the control of the tongue. Those who indulge in it will eat its fruit. Whoever finds a wife finds good and receives favor from the Lord. The poor request favor, but the rich answer harshly. A man with many friends may be harmed by them, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That was Proverbs chapter 18. Today's portion from the Apostles is 1 Peter chapter 2. So get rid of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all lashon hara. As newborn babes, long for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow toward salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Messiah Yeshua. For it says in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a chosen, precious cornerstone. Whoever trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, the value is for you who keep trusting, but for those who do not trust, the stone which the builders rejected, this one has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they are disobeying the word. To this they were also appointed, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You were shown no mercy, but now you have been shown mercy. Loved ones, I urge you as strangers and sojourners to keep away from the fleshly cravings that war against your soul. Keep your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Then, while they speak against you as evildoers, they may, from noticing your good deeds, glorify God in the day of visitation. For the Lord's sake, submit yourselves to every human authority, whether to a king as supreme, or to governors sent by him, for the punishment of those who do evil, and the praise of those who do good. For this is God's will, that you silence the ignorance of foolish men by doing good. Live as free people, but not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Rather, live as God's slaves, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Slaves, with all respect, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are harsh. For this finds favor if, for the sake of conscience toward God, someone endures grief from suffering undeservedly. For what credit is there if when you sin and get a beating, you endure? But if you endure when you do good and suffer for it, this finds favor with God. For you were called to this, because Messiah also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return the abuse. While suffering, he made no threats. Instead, he kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we, removed from sins, might live for righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. For you, like sheep, were going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. That was 1 Peter chapter 2, and it concludes our episode for today. If you are reading through the Apostles twice in this year's reading cycle, you'll be reading Matthew chapter 6 today also. I just want to bless you with the greeting of Shalom from us here in Israel. May God's grace and shalom be with you. Until next time.